It has been a strange week, right? For some of our church people, they've had to evacuate. For all of us, we've had to wear masks and our going out has been restricted. We've had to stay home a lot. For me, at the Edwards household, I've got this little loft in the roof of my house where I go up to. Some people call it my little dog box. There's a couch up there and a TV, which I'll watch during my lunch break. It doesn't have a door on the room. And so I can hear the sound of the family downstairs, the coffee grinder, the dog saying, take me for a walk, take me for a walk. You're home a lot more, so take me for a walk. The cat complaining it needs to be fed for the 17th time that day. And just the children and the wife just getting lunch ready and all those sort of things. There's distractions and it's different. And a lot of us haven't been able to go into the office or into work, to university, or just hang out with our friends. It's been a tough week for some of us, really tough for some, not as tough for others. I wonder what your week has been like. And I wonder, in this opportunity that God has given, if we've had a moment to just reflect upon our life and reflect upon our God, reflect upon where our life is going. I know for many of us, last year was a year of change. And maybe the last couple of weeks, you've been reflecting upon what this year holds for you. I wonder if you're worrying about relationships. You're thinking about your family. You're thinking about your job. You're thinking about your life. It's actually an opportunity now for the next few minutes just to reflect upon our lives and to think about what it is that God has for us. There was a guy called John. John wrote the Gospel of John. He was Jesus' best friend. He was the guy who at the Last Supper, when Jesus was there, John was leaning against his shoulder and him and Jesus were having a conversation that not everyone else could hear. They were best mates. And John not only wrote the story of Jesus in the Gospel of Jesus, but he also wrote three other books in the Bible as well. Now, they're not necessarily a letter. Sometimes we look at them and we think, well, they're the letters of John. But actually, 1 John chapter 2, which is what we're going to be looking at this morning, it's actually as much a devotion, a homily, a sermon, as what it is a letter. Do you remember those letters you used to get at Christmas time? If you're old like me, you remember sometimes people used to write a letter to you and they put everything that's happened to them that year. Little Johnny's got toilet trained. The dog ran away. I've got a new job. This, that, and the other. And you find out everything that has happened to them in the year. And then maybe at the start of the letter, they say, Dear Mark. And maybe at the end, they say, Hey, Mark, we should catch up more. Or something like that. There's the letter that they send to everyone. And then there's a greeting at the top and a greeting at the bottom. I think when we look at the letters from John, that they feel a lot like that. He's sending them out to a pretty general audience. But as we're going to discover in this chapter, he's actually been quite specific to all different groups of people. If you're watching and you're listening this morning as I read the scripture, he is not going to let you off the hook. He's actually going to have something to say to you. No matter what circumstance you find yourself in, no matter if you're old, if you're young, if you're married, you're not married, if you're going through a bust up, if your life is happy, if you've got a great job, if you've got a terrible job, you don't have a job at all, John is actually going to have something to say to you. As we read this, we're going to discover that he is the most personal of all the letters. He is most concerned about relationships and friendships. He was the disciple that the Bible tells us Jesus loved. The love that Jesus had for him was as his best mate. So when John writes, a bit different to say Paul and some of the other letters, he is mostly concerned about friendship and relationships. And I think that's something that's really important. Maybe you're watching this at home and you're thinking about the relationships you have in your life, the significant ones, the ones that are not as important, the ones that have been broken, the ones that you've broken, the ones that haven't been kept up, the ones that someone has broken off. There are all different types of relationships we have in life. And if we're honest, they're probably some of the most important things we have. We can have a new car, we can have a new house, we can have a new toy. But ultimately, it's relationships that cause us to be really happy and at peace, or really unhappy and not at peace. I wonder where you're at this morning with relationships. If you've got a Bible, you can turn there or you can just listen as I read it to you. But we're looking at 1 John chapter 2, 7 through 17. Dear friends, look at that. See, dear friends, I am not writing a new commandment for you. Rather, it is an old one you've heard from the very beginning. This old commandment, to love one another, is the same message you heard before. Yet, it's also new. Jesus lived the truth of this commandment, and you also are living it. For the darkness is disappearing and the true light is already shining. If anyone claims I'm living in the light but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is still living in darkness. Anyone who loves another brother or sister is living in the light and does not cause others to stumble. But anyone who hates another brother or sister is still living and walking in darkness. Such a person does not know the way to go, having been blind by the darkness. Now listen to this next bit. It gets really specific. I am writing to you who are God's children because your sins have been forgiven through Jesus. I am writing to you who are mature in the faith because you know Christ who existed from the beginning. I am writing to you who are young in the faith. You've only been a believer for a short time because you have won your battle with the evil one. I've written to you who are God's children because you know the Father. I've written to you who are mature in the faith because you know Christ who existed from the beginning. I've written to you who are young in the faith because you are strong. God's word lives in your hearts and you have won your battle with the evil one. Do not love this world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. John writes this and he says it's a new commandment, but it's also an old commandment. One of the things that the Jewish people loved was a paradox or a riddle, a wordplay. If you go and you have a look at the first gospel that John wrote, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's a little bit of a wordplay. What he's saying in this passage is, years and years ago, when God spoke to Moses, thousands of years ago, he said, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor. And it's an old commandment, and it's written down, and the Word of God is written down. But now he's saying, he knew Jesus, and Jesus was the Word of God in a person, personified. Jesus was God's Word in a living, breathing person. And what that means is he shows us how to love. He shows you how to love. It's not just written down words on a page, but he was living and breathing. And John had seen him and been his friend. And John had seen how he loved. He loved generously. He spoke the truth. He spoke kindly. But he also said what needed to be said. He treated people with justice. He cried at injustice. And when things weren't going bad for people, were going really bad for people, he felt it deeply. He loved people, but he also wanted the best for them. Jesus personified love in a living, breathing person. John then tells us in this passage that if we don't love our brother or sister, we're not living in the light. We're not living the way God wants us to live. I wonder if there are people in your life that you find it really hard to love. Maybe there's been a hurt or a pain, something that's happened to you in your life, which means there are people in your life that you just don't like, maybe even that you hate. The other week, about 2 months ago, maybe 3 months ago, I was at Hungry Jack's with my family. And I was in the line looking up at the overpriced burgers and thinking I've got to buy one for four people and I've got to buy full meals because my kids are grown up. And I'm looking up at this menu and I'm thinking, what am I going to get? Out of the corner of my eye, I spotted an elderly couple talking to my wife. Out of the corner of my eye. And I glanced over and I recognized the man. I'm going to call him Bob. Some of you watching this will know who I'm talking about. So I'm going to be careful the words I use. But there was a senior man, quite old, let's call him Bob. I did not want to talk to Bob. I was really surprised to see him talking to my wife. You see, a number of years ago, there were some really difficult things that happened in church. And Bob and I had to have a number of very difficult conversations. And the relationship had not ended well. And so I see Bob. And if you know me, you know that I'm the sort of person that doesn't like conflict. I don't run to conflict. I run from it. And when I know someone doesn't like me, I find that difficult. I like people to like me. And so I didn't necessarily want to talk to Bob. And I go up the counter and I order my onion rings and my double cheeseburger deluxe and soft drinks and milkshakes for the kids. And then I notice that Bob has come up and he's standing next to me and he's putting out his hand and he wants to shake my hand. So I shake Bob's hand. I grab my food. We go back, my wife, my family and I, and Bob and his wife, and we have a lovely conversation. In fact, Bob says to me, "Hey, Mark, I barely recognized you. You've lost so much weight." So instantly, Bob and I are friends, right? We've got to be friends. Yeah, you've noticed I've lost weight, Bob. That's great. And it was so interesting to have that relationship and to understand that time has healed and we're able to talk and be friends. About 2 weeks ago, someone came up to me and said, "Hey, did you know Bob has passed away? He had a very private funeral. It was only family there. No one even knows. But he's passed away." And I thought to myself, I am so glad I got the opportunity to have some sort of reconciliation with Bob. I'm so glad we became friends again. Maybe there's people in your life where you just need to find reconciliation with them. You need to find a way to be able to, if you hate them, put that hate aside. If there's bitterness, to put that aside. It's not easy, but it's what Jesus asks us to do. It's what Jesus requires of us. John then finishes this little passage we've been reading, and he talks about do not love this world. Do not love this world. Do you know that there's a battle going on? There are things that God wants you to do. There is a culture that God wants you to follow. And it's the culture that Jesus demonstrates, that Jesus shows us. How Jesus lived his life is how God wants you to live your life. Was Jesus concerned about possessions? No. Was he concerned about his destiny and where he was going? No. Do you reckon Jesus was boasting about his new watch and his new car, his new house? No. None of those things concern Jesus at all. And yet these are the things which, if we're not careful, we find ourselves boasting about and thinking about and saying these are the most important things. For Jesus, as he lived his life, the most important thing for him was relationships. Seeing people, encouraging them, being generous to them, healing them, finding a way to be a blessing to their lives. Jesus' focus was not on himself at all. His focus was on you. And it was on me. And here's the killer of this. John, as he writes this, doesn't let any of us off the hook. He says, "I write to you that are mature in the faith. I write to you that are young in the faith. I've written to you that are God's children, that young in the faith because you are strong." Maybe you're a new Christian. Maybe you haven't been a Christian for very long. Do you know this word is for you? Maybe you've been a Christian for years. This word is for you. Maybe you're on a journey with Jesus. You don't quite know. Well, you are one of God's children. This word is for you. Jesus calls you and me to say yes to him at every point in our lives. That's how he wants us to live our lives. Can I encourage you this week to read your Bible? If you want to know what Jesus is like, grab your Bible, go roughly to the middle, and then turn towards the back bit. You will find Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Can I encourage you to read the Gospel of John, the whole thing? Can I encourage you to do that this week? It actually won't take you that long. And as you read it, to look at what Jesus is like, because that is what God wants us all to be like.